Father, thank you that we can come together today. Let your presence, your Holy Spirit, your anointing, Lord, be here with each one of us today and enable us to hear your word, to receive it in our heart, to be empowered and transformed by your, Lord, anointing and power. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So we've been talking about the revelation of God's name, of Jesus' name. Really the same thing, because he's God. Okay. But only, you know, before in the Old Testament, they had many different names, because they were looking at the physical manifestation. Jesus' name, it's only one name, because it covers everything. All the name of Jehovah are covered by what Jesus has done, because this is what he did for us. But the focus here is changed. It's not in the physical, it's in the spiritual. But we are going to look at things, you know, from different perspective, because sometimes it's good to look at different aspects of things. So we're going back to the scripture that I read last week. Okay, there was Psalm 142, verse 7. Okay, how important that verse can be for us to understand. Okay, that what this is what David said. See, David had a revelation of God, names of God, the way God dealt with us. Okay, so we're going to just get more into the way he perceived and understood. But, you know, start with Psalm 142, verse 7 says, you know, I bring my soul out of prison. So really deliverance and freedom from all the limitation, the bondages are coming from, that I may know your name. And what we said there, you know, that know has to do more with revelation than anything else. Because it's, you cannot know the name of God. You know, you can know all the name of God. You can memorize all the names of God that you want. But if you don't have revelation about them, you are not going to come in contact with it. It's not going to be doing anything to you. Hello? See, because what we receive from God, we receive spiritually, not physically. The physical manifestation is the result of what we receive in the spirit. God is a spirit, and those who worship him should be worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And when we understand that, it doesn't go walk the other way around from the physical to the spiritual. It's from the spirit that comes the power in the physical dimension. Because all the power is in the spiritual dimension, and this is, the physical is nothing compared to what is there. Praise the Lord. So, you know, the word there, you know, to know you is the yada, you know, yada actually that is, you know, involved, you know, is experiential knowledge. That means experiential knowledge has to be that you have received it and it starts to be working in you. Okay? That comes by revelation. That's why Paul prayed for the Ephesians that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you know, may enlighten them. Open their eyes to be able to see. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the name is nothing else. All the name of God is nothing else than the manifestation of the covenant that God had with them. The different aspect of God's covenant. So really, you know, for us to be able to receive things, you know, we had to really come into this covenant. The Old Testament was old covenants, many following more or less, you know, but the New Testament is the new covenant. Actually, it's better to call it the new covenant because that's really what makes the difference. That's what produces the difference. Okay. Now, the understanding that we had to have, okay, that the covenant that they had, okay, could not be broken in the Old Testament. But they end up breaking him anyway. In fact, you cannot fulfill God's law, which was the terms of the covenant. If you want the all the instruction, all the different elements of the covenant, you could not feel that by following the law. Nobody could, because we cannot do it ourselves. And we are going to see, okay, we had to really understand the implications of that in the fact of the way we had to function today. We cannot work. We cannot save ourselves by following the law. There has to be a spiritual revelation in us so that we understand what this covenant involves and how to be into that covenant, this covenant. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, the death he's talking about here is not physical death. He's talking about, you know, Old Testament, everything physical. New Testament, everything spiritual. The physical is the result of the spiritual. Okay. So we are going to be, and we have been covering some of this topic on Thursday as well, because really this is such an important idea, concept, logo, that unless you grasp that, you know, you can really even walk with the new covenant. Okay. So let me continue here then. Okay. We want to, you know, understand how that exchange of life that was taking place in the covenant, okay, would take place in us today, okay? And when, you know, Adam sinned, say, why he wasn't died, he lived for many years. No, he spiritually died. See, the concept of death that we have as the death, as the end of our physical body being alive, is not what God is talking about. He's talking about this from a spiritual point of view. When our soul separated from God, then that type of life, the Zoe type of life, the life of God, is not in us anymore. And that means there is death at that level. Their physical life, yet, but is not sustained by the Zoe, the life of God. The Zoe comes when you are born again. God makes you a new creature. Are you following me? That's important to understand, and to understand the implication that are within us, and benefit from them, because this is all the idea. You see, our covenant that we have today is based on better promises than the one David had, but he had revelation about that so that he could actually benefit from some of it. Okay? But now we have better promises. Better, you know, and they are based all on the fact that we have eternal life now. So, in us. Hallelujah. And wasn't available in the same way in the Old Testament. Now, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, okay, well, let's see what it says. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he also is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So Jesus is the mediator. Jesus, you know, and all the things that he produced are better things that are, you know, all the things that, well, actually, all the things that are included in the Old Testament promises are even for us today applied, and we can receive it. So all the names of God, they were there. They are now amplified in terms of the things we should expect. Okay? Because it doesn't depend anymore on our satisfying all the law. Depend on us in being in Christ. And so we have to understand how to be in Christ, and this is by itself It's all a topic that we have been covering on Thursday night. And, I'm going to be continuing because this is such an important thing. This is not a legalistic type of a situation. This is a reality in spirit and in truth. You cannot connect legally with God because you come short. But you can connect by receiving revelation and allowing the truth to work in you. Now let's continue here. Praise the Lord. You see, the old covenant had problems. Okay? And yes, said very clearly in Hebrew chapter 8, in the following verse, Proverbs 8, verse 7 says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second one. Verse 8. Because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." And he's talking about, this is Old Testament talking. He's not talking about them. He's talking about believers. Okay? For us. So, and then it's painted on and expanded on the new covenant. Okay? That is going to come. Okay? This is going to be a different way of dealing for God with us. Okay? God deals differently with us. There is a new relationship based on a new covenant, which is much more, it's like, in no way our contract. Okay? Verse 9. "Now, according to the covenant that he made with their fathers and the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them, says the Lord." So you see, the covenant wasn't good enough because they couldn't meet it. They couldn't stand for it. They couldn't work it out. Okay? That's what he's saying there. Okay? Now, but the new covenant, is different. And the way it is, verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord." This is the covenant that Jesus established. "I will put my laws into their hearts and write there into their mind and their heart. And I will be their God and they shall be my people." So you see, before, the only thing they had these laws imposed on them. Now the situation is changed. It's the opposite way around. They will have it inside them, inside their mind, the way they think, and the way their heart functions. So understanding the heart, it doesn't say, at this point here, it's not talking about the spirit, okay? It's talking about the heart. Okay? Here is much clearer than what was prophesied in the Old Testament, because the writer in the New Testament had better understanding. And the words are clear. And he's talking about the mind and the heart. That means, the whole soul is going to be modified by this new covenant. Okay? Both of the things are part of the soul. Okay. "So, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their heart." So you see, and what are the laws? The things that you can do or not do. The things that are the judgment you have about the way you deal with the situations you're in. The decision you make. Follow me. Okay? These are the judgments that are within you. They are going to change. They are going to align themselves with God's thoughts and idea. Okay? That's what's happening. Okay, what that alignment brings, that there is going to be what? Unity between you and God. That's what Jesus was talking about and announcing when he was at the Last Supper in chapter 17 of the book of John. He's talking about I with God, with the Father, and you with me and we with the Father. We are going to be one. He's not talking about church unity here. He's talking about unity of us with God. That is not often not understood. So that is going to have an impact. And the impact is because we are aligned, we are going to do the right thing naturally. The way we think, the way we judge is the same way as God is judging and doing and thinking. Okay. Now, are we that way right now? To a degree. To the amount that we have aligned ourselves with God. But there are maybe areas yet in which we are not perfect and we need to grow into and to understand really, you know, the way God thinks so that we can change our ideas. Because otherwise we'd be like Jesus. That's the way Jesus was when he was down here on earth. See, my judgment are righteous judges because I don't do my own will, but I do the will of, you know, I think the what I'm here to do the work of my Father. I wasn't thinking, wasn't directed, wasn't doing anything has to do with him. You know, he was completely dedicated to line up himself with that's why I was how did was God that way? The Word? That's the way we get it. We get it through the Word, but it's not by memorizing or not by, you know, knowing the theology. It's by revelation of the truth so that we can actually live it. So that we are becoming that way. That unity that Jesus announced is going to be manifested more and more. The more we receive wisdom and revelation to line ourselves up with God's word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, again, you see that the thing is, okay, I'm just jumping, going further too quickly. Okay. Then he says, you know, so, and none of them, that's the impact is going to have. None of them shall teach the neighbor, and none his brother saying, know the Lord. And the word there is ginosko. Okay. For all shall know me, okay, the least of them to the greatest of them. See, that unity that I was describing a few seconds ago, that's exactly what it's announcing here. That is what the new covenant is going to bring about. There is a long way we have to go yet. But that's the promise. That's what God wants to achieve. And that's what he's achieving more and more. As we receive understanding, and we are not getting farther and farther away from religion and more into a relationship, a true relationship with you, with him, because we know him. Because we have revelation. Because the revelation has changed our hearts. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That communion in spirit, see, the relationship with God is what? In spirit and in truth. It's not a superficial, external thing. It's an internal thing that manifests itself externally. Hallelujah. So, we continue here. For I will be merciful. It's not because we deserve it. You know, we don't get it because of the good things we have done. Because he's merciful. Merciful implies that he, you know, is compassionate because we can do it in ourselves. So he has to be merciful to give it to us. He is there wanting to bless us, but you know, we can get blessed by ourselves because we're going to fall. But if he changes the way we are inside, we are not going to fall anymore. And the more he changes us, the more we are not going to fall. But, you know, that change, you know, doesn't happen just because God does it. You know, it's a decision we make to receive, to open up, to be able to connect with him. The desire that we have to actually have that relationship with him that opens up. You know, you, those are the ones that actually hear his word. Not everybody that actually physically hear the word of God. Say they have ear to hear, but they don't hear. Okay, eyes to sight, and they don't see. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. So I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sin and their lawless deed, I will remember no more. You see, when he's cleaned up, you are free. And God doesn't really there remembering the stuff you were. You remember yet. And that produces problems sometimes because you focus on the wrong thing. You don't focus on what you can have now. What you have now. Okay? So you end up shifting back to your own thinking. Okay? Let me continue here. Okay. We receive complete forgiveness. Okay? Their sins and their lawless evil remember no more. You are a new creation. Okay? In those areas that you connect with God, definitely you are. As he said, the new covenant, he has made first, you know, he has made the first obsolete. Now that is becoming obsolete. He doesn't say he's obsolete. He has made obsolete and now he's becoming obsolete. Okay? That means, you know, that more and more, is going to be less and less operating in us. You know, to the degree that we still work according to the law, that we do the things because we know it's the wrong thing to do and we don't do it. That's the law. Okay? And we are not freedom in that because there is still the pull, the temptation, the wrong thinking, the wrong judgment inside our heart. But we start taking a position. And when we receive that revelation, you see, that's the revelation component. You know, things that we receive from God. That's what makes the difference. That's what gives us, okay, the ability, okay, to transform the old covenant that was declared obsolete into becoming obsolete. Okay, and growing old, and is ready to vanish away. You see, that's pretty clear. He's telling us that it's not just something that is completely gone. You know, for us, to the degree that we had to still follow the law, because we don't have it in our heart yet, and we had to do it because of external thing, is not an internal thing. We haven't been changed in those areas. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, but where we are changed, we are walking right. We are doing right. The work that God has prepared for us, we are delivered. And with the sun set free, is free indeed. Amen? Praise the Lord. See, I mean, this is such a great covenant that we got. But we know some people look at this and say, well, it's done, it's finished. No, it's not finished. Here he's saying very clearly that it's still valid in the area that we haven't received. That we haven't received what? Yada, revelation. We haven't received the transformation in our heart because our heart has not been completely transformed. Our spirit, we receive the Spirit of God. We are connected with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has no problem. We have eternal life. You know, but the degree in which we manifest it in our life is depending on what? Your heart. Now, let me continue here. Praise the Lord. So we are going to see now more and more, okay, how David, okay, because that's going to help us. See, we are still, you know, in the flesh. And we are still thinking, you know, very much in physical way. You know, we are not just so spiritual that, you know, we do not depend on our senses. So, you know, understanding some things that happen in the physical can help us also in relate to things that happen in the spiritual dimension. And that's why, you know, the Psalms that were written in the Old Testament, only they can be enormously helpful because they connect us, you know, between spiritual things and our emotions, our feelings, our thinking, and everything else. So we're going to Psalm 32, says, you know, blessed is the man, David himself talking here, you know, to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deception. See, here, it's talking about spirit, okay? And it's not the spirit that does no deception in the Old Testament. This is actually, should be translated differently, okay? The way it's been translated, the word there is in Hebrew is ruach, but it's not really the spirit. You know, ruach can also be translated life. So that's really the best translation for this verse. You know, blessed is the man the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose life there is no deception. So, you know, he's really connecting with God. But he cannot have the spirit clean because he's not born again. Okay. Following verse. You know, when I kept silent, and here he explained the way it happens. Okay, that's really, you know, important for us because it's reflected very clearly also in the New Testament. Okay. It was when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. See, keep silent is really the fact that in spirit and in truth, if you keep silent and you don't say the truth, you are actually not connecting with God. So, you know, he was struggling through that. When he kept silent, when he don't recognize his own mistakes, you know, the difference, you know, how do you find out the difference? Because of the law, you are what you're doing, and the law, there's a disagreement there. Okay? So, it's not that because, you have the covenant, now I can do whatever I want. No, that's not the case. Okay? For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer, Selah. So you see the heaviness and dryness as a result of the fact of separation from God. There was not the flow of life working in him. So evidently, he started to experience some of what the New Testament, some of the New Covenant result, okay, the life of God working in us, but was limited. But when he was not acknowledging his sin, he didn't experience that. So he was explaining here, okay, in the previous verse, blessed is the man who the Lord does not impute iniquity. It's not that God one day wakes up, says, oh, I'm not going to impute iniquity over you. No. When you are silent, he's going to be on your case, and you're going to be feeling guilty, hopefully, because you're not fooling yourself, and so the effect is going to be there. But when you acknowledge what you've done, then the heaviness and the dryness and the things that are showing the fact that you have a problem in your relationship with God. See, the flow from you and God, the unity is developing and growing. Okay. Let me continue here. Then says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. You see, he's not anymore hiding it. He's not anymore, you know, keeping silent. Okay. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgive the iniquity of my sin, Selah. So that's really what he's talking about. He's talking about repentance. He's talking about dealing with the issues that he had in a relationship with God by disobeying the law. Are you following me? Okay, so acknowledging there, you know, is not, acknowledging is the word there is yada, again. So he had revelation, okay, of my sin, and I acknowledge it to you. I had revelation to, I really understood, I really connected with you at that level. I was wrong. All right? That's what he's saying there. Okay. And see, that the result of that, my iniquity, I am not hidden anymore, and I'm confessing it. You know, the confession there is interesting. It's also what? It's yada again. They translate things in English, you know, in different ways, but the word there is always, you see, I brought up the revelation that I had to you. You see what I'm saying? Okay, so unless you have revelation, that means, you know, you come in contact, you are open up, and the Holy Spirit shows it to you, you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to be religious and going to follow the law. But when you got revelation, when you got understanding, then inside you there's going to be life, and they are the, because that's what the Holy Spirit brings to you. He brings you in what? Into all truth. And what does the truth do? Do is exactly do the truth set you free. Amen. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. See that when we, you know, what I'm telling you is. Old Testament and New Testament function exactly the same way. Now, though, we have a much better understanding, and Jesus came to actually show it to us in a clear way so that the description later on is very similar with the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is really, you know, should be a blessing for us, because we can see God didn't change. Old Testament and New Testament, the principle were the same. It's the understanding that people have. God is always the same. Jesus Christ is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That includes Old Testament, New Testament, even after that, even after the age of the church. It's always the same. The 1,000 years is going to be things going on, you know, and it's going to be according to the same principles. Hallelujah. But they are all start, we start to see and understand these things today so that we can benefit. Okay. God works in spirit and in truth. We have to relate to him in spirit and in truth. Now, I don't know. You see, let's look at the result, the impact of this new covenant with us. Okay, the result of the old covenant, you know, the same when it was fulfilled to a degree, but it's always the same. We say, and again, David showed us in detail all the different aspects of this, which actually, you know, were relating to the different name of God, the God that they were in the Old Testament. The name of God that, you know, were actually our brother here have listed before, you know, they were just all different aspects of the way God deals with us. And so that were given there for people to understand, okay, to make that connection, to make it a reality. But we, you know, without revelation, they're just names. And unfortunately, even today, when people pray in Jesus' name, it's just a name. Okay, it's a formula. That's not, the formula has no power. It's when you don't need to say anything, just think about it and just, you know, get the result because, you know, you are working in alignment with the way God thinks. Now, let me continue here. Psalm 103. I've been talking about Psalm 103 for quite a while because Psalm 103 is really giving us a pretty good ideas of all the type of things we are going to receive and to, you know, be able to appropriate. Okay. There, you know, says here, verse 1. Okay, Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know, here he's talking about, you know, I really had to bless the Lord. See, when this is the expression, the attitude of somebody that got the yada, the revelation of what God is like. And when you got that revelation, the only thing you can do is to bless the Lord. Because he's blessed you. You know, we love him because he first loved us. Well, that's the way it works. Okay, he and received from him. He was loved by God. And so the only thing he says, you know, my soul, he's talking about his soul, you know, the part that his consciousness, his mind, his heart, and all those things. Heart is sometimes not completely conscious, but anyway, all that part there, he's not talking about his spirit. Spirit is in communion with God if you talk that way. Okay, so my soul and all that is within me, everything, bless his holy name. Okay, he had revelation. He had the yada of what I was talking about before. Okay, then goes on. Bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all his benefit. You see, he's connecting right away because he experienced the benefits. He experienced the result of that communion. So he's starting there, you know, focusing on the aspect that are going to increase your connection, your blessing of the Lord. Okay? The realization. Okay? The realizing and not forgetting those things, because we can get distracted. We can get focused on the things that are physical and miss what actually the Lord is doing. You know, sometimes there are things that are not the way we want them. And those things can attract our attention more than the things that we should be. You know, they're going to produce power inside us. This is why, you know, one of the way that praising and blessing the Lord is going to help us to get deliverance, to get freedom, to get power. Because we connect with that reality instead of being connected with the physical problems that we have. See, our senses easily get caught up by the physical things, the problem, the pain, the difficulties, the things, you know, and we react to those things. Instead of, you know, say, wait a minute, let's stop right here. I mean, I'm in trouble, you know. I just had a short there, you know, when you are in trouble, run to the Lord. Okay, that's the time when you have to connect with. How do you run to him? You start praising him, you start connecting him, you start focusing on him, so start focusing on all the benefits that he's producing you. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So this is really what he's doing here. And he's starting, you know, last listing some of these things, you know, in verse 3, who forgives all my iniquity, all your iniquity. Okay, Jehovah Makadesh. Okay, that's the idea, is really the fact that, you know, he forgives us. You know you are forgiven. You know you have been free from them. You don't go around feeling guilty. You know, if you, you know, say, oh, accept the Lord, and you keep going around feeling guilty about all the things that you did in the past, well, you haven't received it. And if you haven't received, is that because you have received no revelation of what he has done and what he wants to do. And you have possibly not even received, you know, not really repented completely about those things. You know that are the wrong thing because you know the law. But to know the law doesn't set you free. The transformation through repentance changes you, changes your heart, changes your mind, changes your everything. Okay? So now, he heals all your diseases. See, that is pretty clear. You know, sometimes people believe that, you know, they want to believe that to be healed, but they take a time to really break through. You have to release that. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, forgiveness. Let me go back a moment here. Forgiveness, the word in Hebrew, okay, is a similar, has a similar meaning in, also in Greek. Is sent away. So you have to send away your feelings of, you know, when you forgive somebody, you have to send away the feelings that you have toward that person. And you may be feeling negative or feeling reject, you know, feeling hurt or feeling all those things, unless you throw them away, unless, and you know, the word there is, you know, throwing with the hand, okay? So, and that's really also revelation. It's the same thing, the same root. Okay. You throw away, you know, even to forgive. You cannot do anything spiritually without revelation, without operating in the spiritual dimension. is not what you do in the physical. It's not what you even say. If you were to say it's not homologeo, that means, you know, lined up completely in true, in you, doesn't do anything. And this is why sometimes we know that we have to forgive others, and we say, I forgive, you know, but we have problem because we have not resolved the emotions. When we get to the place in which we repent properly, then we forgive that person. The way we repent of our sin, God forgives us. It's the same thing. We function the way God functions in the spiritual dimension. That's the way to work. That's the way He works. We were made in His image. Now, let me continue here. Praise the Lord.
Are you getting anything here?
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let me continue here. Okay. All the benefit, we have to remember them because they keep us in touch with the reality of what He has done in us. Okay. So, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. You see, re-understanding that He's the one that redeems you, not yourself. You cannot redeem yourself. If you're a slave, you just can't do anything about it. There has to be somebody that comes and set you free. And he's talking about redeeming you from sin and redeeming you for all the consequences of sin. Jesus came, paid the price. He bought you back. And so, you know, he did all these things for you. You know, his life from destruction. How does he do redeem his life from destruction? You know, someone and I. He sent his word and delivered them from their destruction. So you see, when we receive the word and we get revelation about the word and we believe the word, then we are, you know, from the destruction that we may experience, you know, is going to be setting us free. Hallelujah. You see the way it works. You know, we are talking, it's not just a physical thing you do. There has to be the spiritual side of the relationship with God in which we receive things from God. Otherwise, we go through the motions. The motions don't do anything. It's the spirit and truth that breaks us through. So we have to remember the benefits, okay? And they may not be there at the moment, but we have revelation, and that revelation releases the power of God, releases our faith, releases the ability to receive from him because we know Him. We have yada. Okay. Because of what? He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. You know loving kindness in a New Testament work, the way it should be translated? Agape. Agape is nothing else than loving kindness. It's involving loving, okay, being, you know, wanting to bless somebody, and kindness, because it doesn't go because they're nice to you. It's because you are kind. So the idea of loving kindness, I believe, is better interpreted and better represented by agape. For us. And I say not love, I say agape, because agape includes both the loving and the kindness in it. We don't deserve to be loving to agapas, but He does. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? So, tender mercy. The mercies of God, you know, is good to us. Okay? I'm going to expand in a minute if we have time today, but otherwise we continue. See, I told you, you know, meditate on Psalm 103, and that's what I'm trying to do with you today. Okay, if you have not done it before, then we do it together, and we, you know, you had time enough to work before so that you got some preparation. But I want to, you know, go into all the things that he's talking about here, because they connect with what we get from the new covenant, because are the same thing. God doesn't change. Okay, let me continue. Okay, love and tender mercy. Verse 5. who satisfy your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So you see, he's just talking about the fact that we, you know, when we connect with God, we are going to feel satisfied. We are not going to be frustrated. We are not to be, you know, feeling striving or you know, pushing it and try to make it and everything else. No, we are simply, you know, being blessed by the things and energized. You see, their youth is renewed like the eagle. The eagle, when he's 40 years old, you know, his beak is grown long and can't eat it very well. They shook their beak out and they get a new one. That is what is represented. You know, what the things that have affected our life, that have made us, you know, weak and tired. You know, you are not sick and tired when you have known the Lord. You are full of life. The life of God, the Zoe is inside you, energizing you. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter what age you have. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, this is really the blessings, okay, that the Lord summarize, if you want, the summary of the blessing that the Lord gives us. This is really something that we have to expect. That has to be our hope and our expectation for believers today. And we have to start meditating on the Word, meditating on our relationship, on a different aspect of our relationship, so that we can move into this spiritual dimension to receive what God wants to do with us. And that's the only way to get it. It's not by being religious. It's not by following all the law. Okay, the law is a guidance for you, but it's not just a training ground. It doesn't set you free. It just possibly keeps you out of trouble to a degree, and to the degree that you succeed in following. But that's about it. Okay, Paul says very clearly to the Epistle of the Galatians. Now, okay. Then goes on. Now it's a completely new, you know, explaining how these things happen. Okay. Verse 6 says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice to all who are oppressed. I mean, if you are oppressed, okay, that means the enemy has taken advantage of you. This is not God. God doesn't produce oppression. Okay, but you know, what he does when we come into righteousness, when we come into the right understanding, when we come into, you know, the right relationship with him, then we are righteous, and he executes that righteousness on the enemy. What they're saying here is exactly that. You know, righteousness and justice, because, you know, because you have the righteousness, he executes the justice and deal with the enemy. Are you following me? Okay? This is showing that even if you messed it up, even if you are under oppression today, he's there. You know, just get connected with him and he's going to set you free. He's going to help you to break loose. He's going to exercise the righteousness that you receive by connecting with him in the right way. Righteousness is nothing else than right standing before him. And you right standing before him is repentance. And this is something that we have to know, understand. The fact that you're born again doesn't mean you don't have to repent anymore. That's the time when you really have to start repenting, you know, all the time. And you have to become more and more conscious of the time that you get off to repent from them, because that's the way you're going to grow. That's the way you are going to develop. It's not by saying, oh, I'm perfect. When you're going perfect, you're going to be just fooling yourself. And, you know, John said it very clearly. If you walk in darkness, light is not in you. For God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Chapter 1, John, first verses. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Okay. This is really, you know, shows how the Old Testament and the New Testament are really saying the same thing. Okay? Only we should know better. because we have much more explanation on that. Okay? So, God is the one that blesses us. You know, He's the one that the enemy come but to kill and steal and destroy. He came to give us life more abundantly. This is what He's showing us here. Okay? And we have to make that connection to be able to receive life abundantly. Praise the Lord. I think this is a good point to stop. Because we're going to get into more of God's dealing, the way God works. Okay? Praise the Lord. Maybe I can add one section here. You were hoping, eh? The hope of the believer. Now, I'm just instead of continuing on Psalm 103, which we're going to do next week, because I was hoping to do it today. Anyway, we go back a moment here to connect what this is talking about with Ephesians 2:8. You know, in Ephesians 2:8, okay, says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God." That is saying exactly the same thing. Do you see that? Okay, the fact that, you know, is God gracefulness, is God love that, you know, works in us. Okay, and we are saved through faith. But, you know, you don't have faith and you don't have grace, you cannot get grace unless you get revelation of the truth, the way God deals with you, the God deserves to set you free. So, you know, otherwise what you're going to do is you're going to do the works to get it. And this is not the works, least anyone should boast. So the idea, okay, that the benefit of the name, okay, is nothing else than salvation. Salvation is the benefit of the name of Jesus, all the different things that He wants to do with us. All the different things He wants to bless us. You know, and it's not by obeying the law, the works, but by walking in the light, which is the natural thing for them to do when your heart is changed. Okay, but that comes only after revelation. And when you got the revelation of the truth, then, you know, naturally, okay, you become the worker. You see, He is the one who changed you, not yourself. So you are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So you automatically, you are created, you are a machine to doing good works because you are programmed that way. God has changed your heart. And you are functioning in connection and in unity with Him at your heart level, not your mind level. Praise the Lord. Okay? So you are nothing else. That your obedience is not a compulsion that you had to do it. It's the natural way manifesting your creation, your new man in you. Because that's the life working, motivating, and you know, affecting the way you think, you judge, and you know all these things. Okay, now we can close. Because really, you know, I connected again the Old Testament with the New Testament. We had to see the overlap between the two, the coincidence of the same thing, but only from a different perspective. We are talking about the spiritual dimension, our spiritual walk, the way our hearts and our spirit are operating now, and our mind should line up with that. Praise the Lord. Do you get anything today? Okay. So now, right now, just let's pray together. You know, we need wisdom and revelation. We need to have the Spirit of God working in us. That's why He was sent to us. See, the Holy Spirit was sent to us not so that we can go around and say, you know, I can speak in tongues. was sent to us so that he can guide us. Okay, I mean, speaking in, I'm not putting down speaking in tongues, you know, I mean, that's not, I mean, to me, it's the most important way of praying, because sometimes, most of the time, we pray according to our own ideas and religious ideas and theology, and we just miss the boat. When we speak in tongues, your little brain, your peanut brain, is not getting into the story. Okay? I mean, we are talking about communicating with God. He's the mighty God of the universe that knows everything, knows everybody, and understands everything. And we are trying to figure that out. Okay? And, you know, we need, he has to download in us the truth. That's the thing. We had to learn to let him do that. And he will, that's his desire. That's what he planned from the beginning. All the prophecies were all about this. You know, this is what he wants to see. He wants to see us working like Jesus did. Praise the Lord. And when we realize that we come short, big deal. We know that. So we can be humbling ourselves and allowing him to change the way we see ourselves and accept what he wants to do with us. And ask, you know, God, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what we are going to pray right now. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy has unchanged throughout the century. From Adam to us, you always have been there to set us free, to minister to us, to give us life, to bless us in many ways, forgiving our sins, healing our diseases, changing, purchasing us back from our mistakes. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Give us wisdom, a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we may understand, so that may we come into your presence to receive wisdom, understanding, revelation, light, so that we may walk knowing where we go. And we go according to your ways. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done and everything you are going to do. In Jesus' name, that covers all the needs that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.